This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Abortion logistics. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, June 27th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
With abortion rules now in the hands of states, we'll examine what laws are on the books and how the topic may or may not have a role in elections.
Russia is poised to default on its foreign debt for the first time in a century, plus the G7 is examining new sanctions that would cap the price of Russian oil.
In sports, Colorado beat Tampa Bay for the Stanley Cup. Wimbledon begins today, and Ole Miss captured the Men's College World Series.
And on the travel front, airports around the world trying to manage long lines and canceled flights.
Not to say that there hasn't been disruption in the U.S., but we're seeing it, you know, in Canada, Toronto Airport. We're seeing it across Europe. That's in the U.K., in the Netherlands, really at airports across the continent.
Ben Katz at the Wall Street Journal on summer demand and staffing shortages at airports and airlines. With the midterm elections on the horizon, what role will the topic of abortion play now that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, meaning abortion policy is to be set by states and is no longer a constitutional right? Democrats will argue that Republicans and the Supreme Court have been overtaken by extremists out of step with the public. Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to pack the court.
I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
She was on ABC's This Week. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
When Roe came out, we didn't burn down the Capitol as conservatives. We didn't go to liberal justices' homes and try to intimidate them. The radical left are constitutional anarchists.
Republicans are skeptical that abortion will have the November impact. Democrats hope it will. After all, inflation is growing at its fastest pace in 41 years, and everyone's talking about the high price of gas. Across the 50 states and District of Columbia, there exists a patchwork of abortion laws. Georgia and Mississippi, for example, prohibit abortions after 20 weeks, unless the pregnant person's life and physical health is at risk. However, the state also has a so-called heartbeat law on the books, which would ban abortion after cardiac activity is detected in the embryo. Abortions in Illinois, New York, and Minnesota are permitted until a fetus is viable or after, if the life and health of the pregnant person is at risk. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz reacting to the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
That decision didn't do a thing to prevent abortions. All it did was make them more dangerous and less accessible, especially the people who need it.
Abortion is legal in New Jersey, and there is no state-imposed threshold on when a person stops being eligible to have one. Patients seeking abortions in Ohio must undergo counseling and wait 24 hours before an abortion, except in medical emergencies. Texas, as you know, last year passed a law known as the Texas Heartbeat Act, which bans abortions after detection of a fetal heartbeat. Millions of people around the country are planning their next steps amid the Supreme Court's decision to overturn the landmark 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that established a federal right to abortion. Erin Mansfield, reporter at USA Today, says the fight over abortion rights is moving to the states, a situation that many pro-life advocacy groups said they've been planning for years. Erin, what are we looking at?
We're looking at a post-Roe society, as a lot of folks would put it, and pretty much everyone who talked to us who is on that anti-abortion or might call themselves pro-life side, they say this is the beginning for them. They are going to start working in state houses to provide more restriction, to try to impose more restrictions on abortion. They're going to be working to pray outside more abortion clinics. They're going to basically keep the grassroots moving. The grassroots is one of the things that has made their movement very, very successful, as we can see by the ruling overturning Roe. And they're not going anywhere. They're keeping moving.
Okay. And you pointed out in the story something called the model law, which is, I guess, is something or is some sort of structure that's being pushed in certain state houses? Explain that.
So the National Right to Life Committee has a model law. Model legislation is essentially to help people, help lawmakers do their jobs. And a lot of organizations will make these kinds of laws. The model law from the National Right to Life Committee looks at things like criminalizing abortion for people who perform it, people who help someone who's pregnant get an abortion, criminalizing people involved in the distribution of pills for a pill abortion, and then people who help people, you know, travel to get abortions. Traveling for abortions is going to be a big thing now that, you know, if you live in, say, South Dakota, you might need to go to Minnesota if that's really the choice you're going to make. You're going to have to go to essentially a blue state.
Right. We're speaking with Erin Mansfield, reporter at USA Today. Her story is called "The Supreme Court Overturning Roe v. Wade is Only the Beginning for Anti-Abortion Advocates." So speaking of that, speaking of traveling to, say, a blue state to get an abortion, if you are in a red state that's has banned abortions or is planning to, how about the demand for pregnancy support?
Yeah, so crisis pregnancy centers are a very popular thing in the pro-life movement, and there are significantly more crisis pregnancy centers than there are abortion clinics in this country. And I would actually expect that to continue being the case as abortion clinics have to close in places like in different states in the Deep South and in the Midwest. So they are expecting, I spoke to the president of Heartbeat International, which runs a lot of pregnancy centers. They essentially are trying to counsel women out of having abortions. They don't refer for abortions. They don't provide abortions. They don't usually talk about birth control. It's really all about getting the woman to carry it to term, whether that means parenting the child or putting it up for adoption. And what they think they're gonna see a higher demand. I spoke to Jarell Godsey, who is the president of Heartbeat International, and he said, you know, the day after Roe comes down, someone's gonna find out they're pregnant and want to have someone to talk to, and our centers are gonna be there.
What about the potential for violent protests? So, you know, we saw some of that, I guess, when the draft opinion was released. What about going forward?
They're expecting that. There's been a lot of vandalism of churches, of offices. There was an incident in Wisconsin where they said if Roe isn't safe or if abortion isn't safe, neither are you.
Yeah.
They spray painted it on a facility. There is a high expectation of that. This is a very contentious issue. Violence, unfortunately, has become a bit of a norm, even with abortion clinics kind of turning themselves into fortresses for the patient's security. And the pro-life side is no exception. They are expecting arson. They are expecting vandalism. They're hoping that it'll just be quick and die down. But that is something on their mind.
Yeah. You opened the story profiling this young woman, 15-year-old Elizabeth Reed. Finish up, if you would, with her story.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Reed is actually an anti-abortion advocate now. She was 15. She thought she was going to get an abortion. She went to a crisis pregnancy center and heard a fetal heartbeat on an ultrasound and realized she really needed to carry this to term. That was something that upset her mother, and she ended up homeless. And in her case, what she was able to get from a volunteer at the crisis pregnancy center was someone who would track her down, make sure she was okay, give her clothing. And, you know, there are examples of this. It is not every crisis pregnancy center does that. And in this case, it was really one volunteer who really, really cared about her. But those are the kinds of things that the pro-life movement tries to do in order to have women carry these babies to term.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Mansfield, reporter at USA Today. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. President Biden has reintroduced a global infrastructure initiative meant to counter China's growing influence, committing $200 billion in public and private financing to boost projects in developing and middle-income countries. The plan, called the Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment, is rebranding of the Build Back Better World initiative that Mr. Biden unveiled at last year's G7 summit.
I want to be clear. This isn't aid or charity. It's an investment that will deliver returns for everyone, including the American people and the people of all our nations.
During the G7 meeting in southern Germany, Mr. Biden yesterday highlighted a handful of projects that the initiative is already funding, including a new plant in Senegal that will produce vaccines for COVID-19 and other diseases. Today, leaders will spend their morning addressing ways to help Ukraine beat back a Russian offensive. They will be addressed virtually by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. 19 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Abortion providers in several states across the country have halted services in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, while supporters and opponents shift their focus to pill-based abortions and how new restrictions would be enforced. Asa Hutchinson, the Republican governor of Arkansas, on NBC.
We're going to work hard to make sure that mothers have the services that they need. We're going to expand adoption services to meet those needs.
Democrat Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor in Georgia, on Fox.
I would reject the notion that this is the will of the people. This was a political decision made by the narrowest of margins and done to satisfy an even narrower constituency.
Clinics in a number of states, including Texas, Wisconsin, and Kentucky, stopped offering services on Friday.
Number two.
Russia has launched the largest missile barrage on the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv in weeks, early Sunday, hours before a G7 meeting convened in Germany to discuss new economic measures to stop Moscow's invasion. Several missiles flew toward Kyiv around dawn, and Ukrainian air defenses shot down at least one on the outskirts of the capital.
Number three.
Part of the wooden stands collapsed during a bullfight in central Colombia Sunday, sending spectators plunging to the ground and killing at least six people and injuring hundreds. The disaster took place in a stadium during a traditional event in which members of the public enter the ring to engage the bulls. Videos taken during the bullfight show a multi-story section of the stands collapsing as people screamed. Flight cancellations were again a major problem this weekend, casting a dark cloud over July 4th weekend travel plans as airlines and the FAA sparred over who's to blame. At least 730 flights were scrapped yesterday after 634 were canceled on Saturday. Delta blamed unscheduled staff absences, weather, and air traffic control constraints.
4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. It's over! They did it! They did it! The job is done!
The call on KKSE as the Colorado Avalanche became the Stanley Cup champs last night. The Avalanche dispatched the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 to win the series in six games. Colorado turned a one-goal deficit into a lead in the second period and held on through the final 20 minutes to win the franchise's third championship.
It would be great if we could use that soundbite like at the end of the workday.
Oh, yeah.
The job is done! Good call. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being with us. The IRS says it's just about arrived at a major milestone in its marathon slog through a backlog of pending tax returns. By today, the agency expects it will not have any more original tax returns received in 2021 left to process. More from Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what's being said?
So the IRS says it's going to be done with what it calls the original tax returns that were received last calendar year. Original in the book, in IRS speak, means all of the returns that it received that last year that don't require any sort of error correction or in putting aside amended returns, all the things that came to them and they're okay to go, they just need to be processed, they will be processed. It went into the filing season this year with roughly 8 million in the backlog on
these.
So it's a milestone, quote, a major milestone, according to the IRS commissioner. But it doesn't mean that the backlog is done by any stretch.
Well, that is a long way back for sure. And there are still people waiting for refunds, right?
That's right. There absolutely are. You know, a testament is, you know, I even heard from, you know, one reader who pointed that out to me after my story hit. There definitely are people who are still waiting for their refund. So that's why this is all really at the end of the day an important thing. It's not just it is bureaucracy, but the human cost on that bureaucracy is a family that is waiting for money that's owed to them because, you know, they overpaid their taxes and this is what they're owed.
Yeah.
But there's still ways to go. They have, you know, still working on amended returns, corrected returns, IRS has said they can hope to be done with this. Their goal is to be done with this by the end of this year, so that they can go into next year with no backlog.
Man, we're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called Still Waiting on a Tax Refund from 2021. The IRS has good news for you. Is that, by the way, the good news that by Friday things will be wrapped up for 2021? Does that include individuals and businesses? Is that everybody?
No, my understanding is business returns received all of the business returns that were received last year that still haven't gotten processed. It'll still take a little bit longer, but not too much longer. They didn't really attach a time frame on the businesses except to say it was coming up shortly afterward. So, it sounds like those are around the bend. You know, if that's 1 week, 2 week, a month, I'm not sure, but they say it's following shortly after.
Jeez. As you say in the story, make no mistake, the backlog isn't beat for now.
Yeah. You know, apart from those, you have the ones that are in corrections, errors that need to be fixed. You have amended returns, those are the two big ones that come to mind. And bear in mind, you know, they are reassigning staff, they are trying to hire staff, and the people who are processing these would also be answering the phones, yeah. But they're not. Jeez. You know, because they're processing, so things are still pretty jammed up.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, June 27. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Abortion providers in multiple states have stopped services in the wake of Friday's Supreme Court decision. Dick's Sporting Goods, the latest big company to offer to cover some travel expenses for those who will seek abortions out of state. G7 leaders are meeting in Germany. Russian missiles struck at least 2 residential buildings in western Ukraine. Amtrak train struck a car in Northern California, killing 3 and injuring 3 others. And drinks after work goes wrong for a man with an important flash drive. That story in about 20 minutes. Delays, cancellations, long lines, and lost baggage are plaguing air travel worldwide as airlines and airports struggle with soaring summer demand and staff shortfalls. Just yesterday, FlightAware says more than 700 flights were canceled across the country. Delta alone canceled 224. TSA lines were unpredictable. Personal anecdote, my mom flew in for my daughter's high school graduation. She said Savannah was unusually busy, yet she sailed right through Philadelphia. You've heard about the problems in the U.S., but Ben Katz at the Wall Street Journal has a look at what's happening in other busy travel areas overseas. Ben, what are things like elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to say that there hasn't been disruption in the US, but we're seeing it, you know, in Canada, Toronto Airport. We're seeing it across Europe, that's in the UK, in the Netherlands, really at airports across the continent. And then all the way to Sydney, who we feature as well in the story. Really, it's just indicative of where the industry is at, trying to ramp up as quickly as can to meet this kind of sudden surge in demand, you know, post-pandemic. People want to get traveling again.
So are the issues that we're experiencing in the U.S. the same as they are elsewhere in other continents, like just staffing shortages? It seems at times not enough planes or not enough help.
Yes, exactly. I mean, in Europe, for example, it's slightly more acute because, you know, at least in the U.S., you know, through the pandemic, there was still some significant levels of domestic traveling. So the industry didn't pause as, you know, or go into hibernation to the same extent as other places in the world. I mean, in Europe, what we're seeing is really a shortage of staff kind of across the industry. So we're looking at, you know, check-in staff to cabin crew to baggage handlers and air traffic controllers. Air traffic controllers is actually something that the US is also battling with at the moment. But it's really, you know, this move to try and bring people back into the system. And the thing with aviation, you know, just on the face of it, in order to get airside at an airport, you know, to get through security, to be kind of an airport worker, you know, one of the holdups is you need security clearance. And that security clearance can take anywhere up to, you know, 16 weeks.
Wow. All right. So as somebody pointed out in your story, it's not like hiring a fast food worker where you may say, hey, congrats, you have the job at 10 in the morning and by 3 in the afternoon, you're training. That's not the case.
Exactly. Exactly. Although, ironically, you know, fast food workers are also kind of looking for employees. One of the examples we included in the story is this job fair that Sydney Airport arranged. They're looking for 5,000 kind of new recruits across companies that operate at the airport, including McDonald's.
Wow. We're speaking with Ben Katz, aviation reporter at the Wall Street Journal based in London. His piece is called Airports Around the World Battle Long Lines and Canceled Flights. You mentioned, too, as part of an effort to try to accommodate, I guess, and adjust, there was at least one airline removing rows of seats.
Yes, so EasyJet PLC, it's a European discount carrier. They're based in the UK. They decided to make this move to remove six seats from about to close to 60 of their aircraft. And what that allows is it lowers the number of seats on that aircraft to 150. And according to kind of the aviation regulators, you have to have a single cabin crew per 50 seats on board. So that's 50 seats, not just 50 passengers.
Boy, touch on, if you would, airports in London and Amsterdam that you focused on.
Yes, so the two that we really focused on in the story, London Gatwick Airport, which is the second biggest in London, and then Amsterdam Schiphol Airport, which is, you know, the big hub for Amsterdam, for Holland. It's where KLM, the national carrier in the Netherlands, operates predominantly out of. Both of them have said that they've had to reduce capacity, so reduce the number of passengers moving through the airport, simply because they don't have enough staff to kind of deal with, you know, the security lines and the check-in counters. And we've seen kind of lines at these airports kind of reach out into the parking lots at times, you know, over busy weekends, over holiday weekends. You know, the delays have been, you know, quite significant. We had some data that we pulled from Flight Aware, kind of showing that, you know, the average flight, on average, flights were delayed. I think it was about 36 minutes in Amsterdam, or 36% of flights were delayed. At Gatwick, it's you know, there's an average delay of 28 minutes.
As you say, as you pointed out, we're seeing cancellations in June, and that's not even really peak summer travel season yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in Europe, I mean, according to data from Cirium, 162% spike in cancellations kind of alone. In the U.S., not quite as bad, up 16%, but that kind of avoided, that didn't include this last kind of Juneteenth holiday weekend. We're also coming up to July 4th, and we're expecting quite significant disruption over that weekend in the US.
Jeez. Finish, if you would, on what you found in Toronto.
So in Toronto, one of the biggest issues was coming from, well, twofold, really. Firstly, customs and border staff, there was just a shortage. And what they found is that waiting lines were just getting quite out of hand. And, you know, there's been quite a lot of coverage, especially in the Canadian press, kind of just looking at the level of disruption. A lot of unhappy passengers, a lot of frustration.
Thanks, Ben. That is Ben Katz, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Be sure to follow us on social media, including at our newly updated Instagram page. You can find us on the gram at This Morning with Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us. One of the longtime contributors to this program is changing hats. Josh Kraushaar, veteran politics editor and columnist at National Journal, is stepping down to join Axios next month. He joins us now to discuss his final piece for National Journal. Josh, your take on DC politics.
I've been covering politics for almost 20 years and been doing the column for 12 years, where I always tried to come up with contrarian, independent analysis that goes against the conventional wisdom. And so I went into my you know, the thanks that I gave to editors and sources and even critics in the column. But I also wanted to talk about my final against the grain analysis, which is I don't see Biden and Trump running against each other in the next presidential election. I actually think we're kind of looking at the past to guide our future thinking. I think there are a lot of smoke signals that, especially on the Democratic side, that Biden too old, too damaged politically to run again.
The fourth paragraph in your piece to me captures so much. And you started by saying, you talk about these worrisome aspects of suffocating tribalism. And you said more news consumers seek validation of their political beliefs. What's the problem with that?
Well, look, it's the state of our politics, Gordon. The fact that you have Americans that don't want to learn, they don't want to get facts, but they want to read or engage in content that already kind of supports what they already believe, whether it's true or not, whether it's new or not.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, where he is resigning and leaving for Axios. His final piece is called Saying Goodbye to National Journal. You said, too, there's not much what you called ideological diversity in the media. When you reference the media here, do you mean columnists or a TV opinion journalists, all reporters? Or who do you include there?
I'm just talking about the news industry in general, and that includes just traditional news institutions, where you're not seeing as many people who have, forget about who you voted for, I don't think that's really important, but you're not seeing blue collar folks moving their way up and getting jobs in the media. You're not seeing folks with conservative perspectives, by and large. There's some exceptions, clearly, but by and large, reporting. And then that leads to some blind spots. I think a lot of the challenges in the media aren't so much challenges of commission, where the story is biased or it's horrible. I think, by and large, reporters work hard and try to get things right. But I think the bigger challenge is missing a whole lot of important stories. Missing, for example, I wrote a lot about the education issue being a really significant factor in the Virginia governor's race and in our larger politics. A lot of folks were slow to catch up on that. They didn't realize some of the debates going on, some of the parental frustrations that were taking place all across the country until the election was already held. And I think that you see blind spots in areas like that end up, not giving the full story or not giving the full context of what's happening in our larger politics.
And so to do a deeper dive on that, what do you attribute that to? Laziness, lousy training, poor editors, bias coming from the top?
Yeah, I don't think there's one factor, but I do think I think diversity matters, and it's not, we need racial and ethnic and demographic diversity, but it also ideological diversity is very important. Understanding where the other half of the country is coming from, understanding where people who didn't go to the Ivy League schools, what their values are, what their principles are, being able to listen and understand the other side, and you don't have to have that same background, but it certainly helps to have a newsroom with all sorts of diversity.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Kraushaar, his final piece for National Journal. He is moving on again to Axios next month. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
The three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade creates new challenges for employers and health insurers covering abortion services, especially whether and how to pay for travel to states where the procedure remains available. Companies including Starbucks, Uber, and Amazon say they would reimburse travel for medical services, including abortion. Grubhub and Dick's Sporting Goods say they would provide up to $4,000 to cover expenses traveling for services not available in their home state. Thorny benefits issues pose a fresh challenge for many companies already struggling to navigate divisive social and political issues.
Number two.
The group of seven economic powers set to commit themselves to supporting Ukraine for the long haul, with the U.S. preparing to announce the purchase of an advanced surface-to-air missile system for Kyiv. President Biden among those meeting in Germany.
What we're doing is fundamentally different because it's grounded on our shared values of all of those representing the countries and organizations behind me.
Leaders are also set to announce an agreement to pursue a price cap on Russian oil, raise tariffs on Russian goods, and impose new sanctions on hundreds of officials.
Number three.
South African police are investigating the deaths of at least 22 people at a nightclub in the coastal town of East London early Sunday. And authorities say most of the victims were minors as young as 13. Local media report bodies were strewn across tables and chairs without any visible signs of injuries, and the cause of death was not confirmed. Police say the victims' ages ranged from 13 to 17, raising questions about why the underage teenagers were being served alcohol. Deshaun Watson's sexual misconduct hearing is set to begin, and the NFL is preparing to make its case for one of the stiffest suspensions in the sport's history. The Wall Street Journal says the league is pushing for an indefinite suspension that would last no shorter than 1 year. The Browns quarterback has been accused by dozens of women of sexual assault or other forms of misconduct during massage therapy sessions. Paul McCartney was joined by special guests Bruce Springsteen and Dave Grohl in an epic performance at Glastonbury on Saturday night that spanned the first Beatles demo to some of his latest recordings. The singer-songwriter, who turned 80 a week ago, was the oldest ever solo headliner at Worthy Farm in Southwest England.
That sounds like a performance. Thank you, Jen. Glad you're with us. Drinks after work probably seemed like a good idea at the time, but for one worker in Japan, the hangover is likely to last for some time. After tossing a few back, the worker lost a USB flash drive containing the personal details of every resident of the city of Amagasaki, population 465,000. Public broadcaster NHK reported that the worker, a man in his 40s, fell asleep on the street after boozing it up at a restaurant. When he woke up, his bag containing the flash drive was gone. The city government says the man works for a company that provides benefits to tax-exempt households. He had gone to the city administration's information center and transferred residents' data onto a flash drive. The data included names, birth dates, addresses, tax details, bank account names and numbers. Although he did have legal access to the data, he had not been given permission to transfer it. The flash drive, by the way, is encrypted, and authorities say no data leak so far has been detected. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.